Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Naked Englishman podcast. I'm Richard Vobes. This is the audio diary of my life, behind the scenes, etc., etc. On the 11th of February 2026, it's a Wednesday. It doesn't look like it's raining. It doesn't look particularly inviting out there, although there is some bright sky coming. It's just after 8 o'clock in the morning, so who knows? Give it a chance. It might brighten up, although everybody tells me it's going to be miserable, rainy, wet weather. We have a job to do today. Going to pick up some scaffold boards, which have been chopped to size so that I can make a veranda for our little workshop at the on the land at Biggleswick Farm. So very much looking forward to going and picking those up and taking them to the farm and having a quick look at the land. We were up there a couple of days ago doing not a lot of heavy work, but little bits and pieces. Just trying to get this light on. There we go. So that's the task for today. Woken up a little with sore arms. I'm not quite sure why, but they're slowly coming back to normal, which is grand. My health has improved so much. It's just amazing, and I'm so pleased that I hadn't had to resort to pharmaceuticals, which many people had said, you know, go to the doctor, go and get this, get on your steroids and be on them for 6 months. 6 months, absolutely awful. I've just got to build up the strength now, which I'm slowly doing with exercises. So that's all good. I must have slept a bit funny last night because just a couple of the muscles in the arms are a bit achy. But as I say, I've found with the exercising and the movement now, it's so much better. Everything else in me is working so good. And every day it seems to be just getting better and better. Smallly, incremental steps. So that's it's encouraging for me anyway. The cat is asleep on the sofa. Julia is sorting herself out. And I, thanks to a lady called Jo, very kindly sent me a copy of a book called Mr. Digwell, A Year in the Garden. And I thought I'd have a little look at that, actually, this morning. Now I've got to try and find somewhere to sit because the cat is sat in the prime position where I rest the microphone. So I'm just going to move a couple of things, move my laptop. Last night we watched a film about Joan of Arc, which was made in 1999, I believe. A weird film with somebody, Jakovic or something, Milo Jakovic, is it, as the Joan of Arc, who really was overacting like some spasmo, I have to say. I mean, I know it's not a good term, but she was just, it was all over the top, really, and didn't ring true. There was a lot of action, and I think they were trying to sort of bludgeon the audience with all this action, but there were so many things in it that just didn't ring true, really. Especially the language that they were using. It was such modern language. And I thought, well, this is obviously for dumb audiences, people who have no idea what history is about, and the sort of language they may have spoken, the piety they may have had. It was as, you know, it was just as if they were ordinary, everyday brutes, thugs, a lot of them, which they may well have been, but in the modern setting, dressed up in armour, which they moved far too easily in. I mean, the plastic armour sprayed up didn't look authentic at all. There was no weight to it. And they're running around with what looked like string chain mail on them rather than real metal. It was farcical, really. Lots of noise, lots of sound effects, lots of fast cutting. And it just did not ring true. Hello, I've just found a tamper down the side of the armchair. So I'm just going to swap the lights around. So I don't know if you've seen that film. Came out, as I say, about 25 years ago. But there were some other supposedly good actors in it. But I guess it's down to the director, isn't it? the director, the producer and the scriptwriter. So it was, in my opinion, a load of old rubbish, a lot of money spent on it. There was some interesting, I don't know whether how true, of course, you then start to doubt how true any of the medieval weaponry was. They had some sort of invented towers and things that were firing perfectly round balls, which seemed unlikely, as if they just were made out of polystyrene. I don't know. Anyway, I wanted to have a look at this book, Mr. Digwell, A Year in the Garden, an invaluable resource, it says here, for every gardener from novice to expert. Well, we're novices. And it features a month-by-month guide to easy and practical gardening. And it has a field on the cover with a fence and a watering can and a lot of grass. So it's... now, apparently, this Mr. Digwell was a Daily Mirror cartoon gardener. And he says here, takes you on a journey through the year, sharing his expertise, gained from over two lifetimes worth of gardening. At two lifetimes? How can that work out? It says two lifetimes. Very bizarre. Packed with modern gardening tips, this book combines the best of old school and technological improvements that make life in the garden simpler and easier than when it was when Mr. Digwell first appeared. The genius of Mr. Digwell in his cartoons. Hello, that doesn't make sense. The genius of Mr. Digwell is in his cartoons. You only need to look in order to understand the technique or be encouraged by his enthusiasm for the subject. So, it's a serious cartoon. It's not like comedy, you know, children stuff. That I guess for ease and what have you, they would put. So, we are in February. So let's have a look at what February says, for this will be useful for what we are doing. So we've got things here, fighting the elements. February brings a lot of moisture to the garden, you're telling me, and you need to counter its effect on your plants. First of all, keep a note of where the puddles are forming. Well, that's a very good thing. We, you know, year one on the land is very much about observing the land and seeing where things grow, where things don't grow, what the soil is doing, where the puddles are, how, where the water drains to, and we've been looking at that very much. And I think that the following year, you know, we'll have a much better idea of what we're doing. This year is very much observation and experimentation, and trying to get the clearance work done that we need to, which I have been unable to do over the winter that I wanted to do. So I feel like I'm almost 3 months behind where I wanted to be, which is a shame. But, you know, that's life, isn't it? You get, I mean, if it wasn't illness, it could have been too much work elsewhere, not enough time. And our advantage or disadvantage is that the land is an hour away from where we are. So unlike our dear friend, Sean James Cameron, who can toddle down to his little growing patch very easily, because it's only, I don't know how far it is, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, stroll, we have to make a day of it, which is difficult because you don't always take everything that you need, and it's away in the countryside, and it's, you know, it's like all or nothing. And it's the day, and of course we've had the winter and the short days and don't get enough time, and you've got to get, you know, all of that. So anyway, let's carry on. Working in the greenhouse. Bad weather makes the greenhouse very cosy. Take time to clean it and disinfect your tools, pots and various other implements. Clean your beds and so on. And yes, it is time to wake up some of your plants, such as dahlias, and place them in warm pots of compost and not peat. Well, we're still trying to work out what plants we're going to plant, where we're going to plant them, and on all of that. And when we were there the other day, we were allocating where the potatoes are going to go, because as you may remember, I think I mentioned that we had the seed potatoes arrived, and they're now laid out chitting, so it'll be some time before they do sprout and what have you. And then I guess by mid-March, we'll be looking at plonking them in, and we'll have to learn, you know, the best way of doing that and how deep and all those sort of things, what kind of soil we need to put over them and how much water they need. Now, we did do this in pots a couple of years ago, not terribly successful. They were in the north facing of my back garden, and they did okay, but the potatoes seemed to have got some form of blight. I don't know if it was blight, but they were pitted, they had black spots over them, they weren't very tasty, and in the end we had to ditch the most of them, which was a shame. So we have in this book a week by week. February can be a nervous month, it says. It's mild, and then you're always worrying about the frosts. If it's likely to be freezing in March. And again, I suppose year one is about working out what's going to happen this year, and every year is slightly different. But then your garden can be completely covered in snow throughout February. Not so much in the south where we are, although we have had some snow. And I think we had like one day of snow, and then we had it there lying for about 24-48 hours, and then it was gone. The first job of the month is maintenance, as it said. Clean your tools, etc. It says add grease bands. I don't know what a grease band is, to fruit trees to deter climbing insects. So I guess these are a product that you buy that you wrap around the stem of the plant. And I guess they're probably, 6 inches or so in length. And you probably wrap them round so that insects crawling up from the base can't get any higher than a certain distance. I'm imagining that's what it is. Finally, finish the job, if it's not snowy, of clearing up the last of the fallen leaves. Yes, there's not. We have got fallen leaves, and we did collect quite a few to act as mulch. Actually, check your pots for spring sowing and replace as necessary. These are some of the things that we need to get. Make sure your insulation in the greenhouse is still in place, and fill your heaters. We don't have any heaters as yet. That's week one. I guess we're coming up to, where are we today? I said it was the 11th, so this is week two. Make sure your raspberries and other cane fruit are pruned appropriately. Well, these are just the small whippies that we've put in, so they don't need pruning as yet. You can continue to bare root. You can continue to plant bare root trees if the ground isn't too hard. It certainly isn't hard where we are. Turn the compost over and prepare a place for manure deliveries. Yes, we do need to get some more manure, and luckily there's a farm nearby, and we did speak to the farmer about some manure, but we still haven't had it delivered. So that's one of the things. We were going to do all of that, of course, but I was ill and we weren't able to get up there. It was so wet, we couldn't get anything onto the land. So that's what it says for week two. And so next week, check your paths, it says here, for cracks, and remove moss. Yes, we need to have a look and see if we've got any moss. If you haven't already, mulch your one-year-old trees, as well as any fruit, like rhubarb. Where we planted rhubarb, we've got two rhubarb plants, and they, when we put them in, they just look like dried sticks, tiny little, you know, roots with a tiny bit of stick on it. Well, they are sprouting, I can tell you that much, so that's really good. Tidy beds and cover remaining ones with black plastic to warm them for early planting. We have got some black plastic. I will need to order a whole load more supplies now. More black plastic to get on the ground, as well as the warming process, which will be good, but also to get the weeds and grass, well, the grass, yes, but the weeds and thistles to die back. Although the trouble we have is where the land has been lain empty for so long, there are thistles and brambles and stinging nettles and all sorts. And the seeds, of course, will be deep in those soils. And so that's going to present us with a problem. So we need to really try and knock that back. And I don't want to turn it. I don't want to turn it because I don't want to open up any latent seeds of what we would call weeds. Even though stinging nettles are very useful, of course, because you can use them as tinctures and balms and manure. But at the same time, I don't want to improve them, let them grow madly. So we've got to work out how we can get around that. Tidy the beds and cover remaining ones with... Oh, I read that. And then the last week, apparently, is make sure bird feeders are full. I've got a load of nuts that have gone past their sell-by date, and they're not terribly appetizing now. So we were thinking of making some fat balls. So we've been keeping fat from cooking things like bacon and sausages and things like that. So we thought we might try and make up some fat balls and then put them on with various bird feeders and things. Break any ice on the ponds. Well, we do that when we go up there. And sow early tomatoes and peppers. Now, presumably, you sow those in a greenhouse or a small polytunnel, as we've got, and then transplant them to a bigger polytunnel, which we have yet to clear the area and erect and certainly make. So we've got lots of stuff to do. And check on hardwood cuttings for signs of growth. Well, we haven't got any hardwood cuttings as such, although I think next year we'll do more of that because we bought quite a lot of bare roots, which are in. And yeah, they're doing all right. So that's really exciting. So that, turning on to the next page here, we've got some examples of his cartoons which have speech bubbles and things, but it's really good. They could be done a bit bigger, but anyway. So we've got here winter greenhouse drill, and then we've got the images of what you would do. Things like had a lecture from Old Digwell today about the greenhouse, says one chap in the cartoon. Green slime, algae, sometimes develops on pot bottoms. It must be wiped off. Yeah, I guess over the winter, especially a damp winter like this, all sorts of unwanted stuff will be latent there, and we don't want that to soil anything. And any on the topsoil should be removed. Right. Break the surface lightly. This will encourage root action. Oh, see? So it's very interesting. Keep the glass lights clean. It's cleaning the greenhouse. You'll want all the light you can get from the weak winter sun. Yes, we certainly do. And also, one of the things I've got to do is plug up. We have got some holes. Not torn holes, but just areas where there's the poly didn't quite fit. And I need to block those up so we keep the heat in rather than the cold air. And also, I think we've had visitors, potentially birds, flying in, nibbling at stuff. So there's all these sort of little fiddly jobs that one really doesn't want to do. You know, want to get on with the bigger jobs to make a, what looks like a difference. But all these little jobs have got to be done. So that's important. Ventilate daily as weather permits. As if you don't, you may get mildew. So on the one hand, you know, block it up. On the other hand, open the door and ventilate. Avoid drafts by opening lights on the lee side of the greenhouse, which in our case, the wind comes from all sorts of directions, so it's difficult to work out where that is. But mostly it seems to come from the south and the southwest and east, rarely from the north, as far as I can tell. Try to keep a level temperature at 45 degrees at night Fahrenheit, obviously not centigrade. Now, we have got a thermometer. We've got a thermometer in there, haven't we?
Yes.
We've got one hanging up, if I remember rightly. So that was that. So I'm calling it a greenhouse. I mean, it is kind of effectively a greenhouse without glass. Anyway, there's loads of tips and things. And then it talks here about growing beans. Well, we planted some beans in the autumn. A lot of them have died. We had some frost and a lot of them died. But our broad beans are doing, some of them are doing really well. They're, you know, about 8 inches tall already. Some are behind a little bit of glass that we've sort of just to protect them from the frost again and the cold wind. But the ones that we've got in a underneath a cage of chicken wire, which we had to quickly put up because the pheasants, I think, were getting in there and digging them up. So we haven't suffered so much from mice. I think they've all been asleep. But the pheasants seem to have been a problem. But since we put the cage of chicken wire around, a few of them have really excelled. So that's really, you know, we didn't expect anything really to survive the winter, but we just wanted to sort of experiment and try and see what happened. And some people were telling us, you know, yeah, you can plant this outside. Some things we planted outside and some things we left in the polytunnel. And they're all right. But from us, it was a learning curve. You know, we've got, I think there's a cabbage in there and some spinach. So not a serious quantity, just one or two in pots. Now that we're coming towards the spring and we want the root vegetables and we want lettuce, salad vegetables. We need to now get a bit more serious and we need more space to be able to plant lots of these things so that we've got them throughout the year. But yeah, we just were experimenting and trying out. As much as we had criticism from viewers watching The English Couple on that, which was ridiculous, really. I mean, people who probably have never done it before or so opinionated that they don't appreciate that, you know, you've got to start somewhere and try things out. And we were just very keen. Now, curiously, it says about broad beans that you'll need a well-trained soil that will retain little water. So we have broad beans, and of course we've had so much rain, I'm surprised that anything has grown, really, that's not just been drowned. But fortunately, on the rise that they are all on the top, so water will be draining away. So that does seem a perfect place for it once we get out of this monsoon of artificial rain that has been chemtrailed to death over the winter period, that people just don't see. But anyway, cold water chills the seedlings, so they grow very slowly. Okay. And having said that, bean seeds of all types prefer cool conditions for germination. So we probably need to go and get some more planted and get that germination going whilst it is cool. The soil needs little preparation. Adding some well-rotted manure is ample. But when? Some people add manure to the soil before growing. But I tend to wait until the spring because I don't want to encourage too much shoot growth at this early time of year. Now that's interesting. Broad beans are grown in double rows. That is, each row is made up of two lines of seeds planted 15 centimetres apart. The next double row is 75 centimetres away from the first. Well, I'm not quite sure that we've got those measurements completely accurate, but we've got two rows, so we're all right there. Runner beans. Have we got runner beans in? I can't remember.
There was a French runner, but that died.
Runner beans can either be sown directly into the ground or started off in 8 centimetre pots, which is the way I prefer, says the author. They too like little, very fertile soil and a lot of support, which is why they're often grown against a trellis of canes, a wigwam, but that wastes a lot of soil. Yes, I can see what you mean. A wigwam, obviously, is wider at the bottom and narrow at the top. But yeah, so we, I mean, a lot of plants grow up against walls and things, and of course we don't have any walls at all, but that's not to say that we can't put a lattice of some description into the soil. We've got plenty of bits of wood that we could make a lattice and hammer them deep in and grow up there. So anyway, I won't go through the whole lot. I'm sure, you know, you might be a bit bored by all of this, but very useful book, and a big thanks to Joe, because as we go through, we've got a couple of other books that give us a year by year, so we can, you know, work out what we're going to do. Obviously, every plot is very different and will have its own issues of where it is in the country, geographically, what the soil is like, the pH and everything else. So there's so much to learn and there's so much to do, but fascinating. And, you know, as I keep going on, year one is an experimentation. It will be amazing at harvest time to be able to, or during the periods of harvest, to be able to sample what we've grown and learn from it. And that's, you know, that is part of the fun. We've also got all the other bits and pieces that we need to, the construction stuff of the polytunnels and the clearance of the brambles and things like getting some slabs to make little pathways so it's easy and we're not treading any nasties on our boots across areas of land that we don't want,
or churning up the mud,
because it's underneath the topsoil is clay. The topsoil is very good, but it, as I said before, it's absolutely full of latent seeds of thistles and brambles, and, you know, because it's just been laying there for 30 odd years building up all these things, which is very regrettable really, but that is a problem that we have, and over time we will get on top of all of that. But I'm not going to plough everything, because I think that will be even worse, because you'll be digging up seeds that are several inches deep and bringing them up to the surface. They'll get the light and then they'll suddenly, you know, sprout even more, and of course kill the microbiome and stuff, as Julia is saying in the background there. Anyway, there you go. So we're going off shortly, well, in an hour or so, to pick up these scaffold boards, because I want to try and get this tool shed finished. I've got to build up my strength, as I've hinted at, and there's a lot to do. The English couple is going to be a bit intermittent for the next month or so, but once my strength is up and the rain stops, we'll have much more access to the land and various things. We're looking at other bigger things, which we'll tell you about in due course. Obviously, the English couple is the best place to once we've got videos there to find out more about. But anyway, that's where I am at the moment, and I hope you've got something out of it. I haven't done a great deal on this second book that I want to write, because it's been awkward. We've been busy. It's amazing how busy. And I haven't been as focused on that as I have with the Biggleswick book, which obviously sales are going well. We've got some Biggleswick or a book events coming up, and I need to keep a couple of boxes back. I don't know whether I'm going to print another run of these books, because that's a big investment, and really the money needs to be spent on the land and the various things that we need. So, but at the same time, we've got to work out where the income is coming in, because we need the money to spend on the land. So it's a bit of a dichotomy there. But anyway, there we go. I hope you have a lovely day, whatever you're doing. And I hope it's not raining wherever you are. Until we speak again, toodle-pip.